From mainstream music to the streets, the Palestinian cause commands great emotion and debate all over the world, with both sides arguing that they're right and both sides chanting for peace. It's amazing that after 65 years, peace is the one thing that seems to have eluded the Middle East in that particular region.
The Middle East is a place of hospitality. It really is. Far more hospitable than Africa or North America. Really, this is a place where people know how to respect guests, how to accept people who are different. The history of Jews in Islam is so different from Jews in Christianity. Also because Islam, but also because of the Middle East. It stands to reason the Jews were treated much better in the Arab world than they were treated in Europe.
In fact, you don't have to look too far back into time to find proof of this. Historically, when the Jews were being persecuted all over Europe, it was the Arab nations that provided them with protection and security and allowed them to thrive as a people. As following World War I, the British got the mandate for Palestine and made a commitment to the Arabs to allow them self-determination and self-governance. But that was a promise they were not going to keep. For in 1917, Britain signed the Balfour Declaration, which highlighted Britain's sympathy for the Zionist Jews and supported their ambitions to create a Jewish state in the land of Palestine.
One can say that to begin with, Zionism, which is the ideological movement that created the State of Israel, begins with two noble ideas. One is safety, and the other is new kind of identity. The problem is that these people were looking for a place in which to implement these two ideas of having a safer place for Jews and a place where Jews could create a state of their own or fulfill their right for self-determination.
In 1947, following an escalation of violence, Britain handed the mandate for Palestine over to the UN, who in 1948 were going to make the Zionist dream a reality.
תוקף זכותנו הטבעית וההיסטורית ועל יסוד החלטת עצרת האומות המאוחדות אנו מכריזים בזאת על הקמת מדינה יהודית בארץ ישראל היא מדינת ישראל.
But as the Zionists celebrated their newfound independence, the existing Arab inhabitants had to make space for the new occupiers. By 1948, 400,000 Palestinians had already been made refugees, 56% of the land, of which 92% was owned by Palestinians, was handed over to Israel. In late 1948, 76,000 Arab troops went up against a more powerful 90,000 Israeli troops and were very quickly defeated, resulting in 78% of the land now being occupied by Israel. But it wasn't a matter of a simple occupation. It was an occupation through force, it was an occupation through illegal settlements, and it was an occupation which came with a reign of terror and tyranny for all those who remained. One could argue that in 1948, the Zionist movement had achieved its core objective of a land, but the violence and occupation continued. With treatment like this, it's no wonder that the Palestinian people decided to fight back. They tried to do it democratically, but when Hamas came into power, they were punished by the Israeli government with increased sanctions and bloodshed as a punishment. After all, Hamas had fired rockets into Israel. I mean, how dare they fight back?
Events in the region are opening people's eyes to a simple truth. The problems of the region are not rooted in Israel.
You have to accept that you are part of the Arab world, you are a minority in the Arab world, you are part of the Muslim world, you are a minority in the Muslim world, and you have to insist on the right to exist, on the right for dignity, for respect, for living good life. And if these rights are granted, you should be able to continue to live in the Middle East. But the rights that you insist of are the right to rule, to occupy, to colonize, to torture, and by that, you are signing your own end.
One could ask the question, where is the UN? After all, with such humanitarian crisis and ethnic cleansing and such increased violence, you'd think that UN would have done something by now. After all, wasn't it the UN who initially caused this in the first place?
If the power in the United Nations would move from the Security Council to the General Assembly, Israel would have a serious problem of legitimization, even now, even without doing even worse things that he's already done.
What makes the entire affair even worse for Muslims all over the world is the US involvement in terms of the support of Israel, with $80 billion of funding pledged to the Israeli state and protection and veto protection. It begs the question, just what does the US have to gain? And in fact, how long has the US been involved all along?
When the Israelis invaded Egypt together with the Britain and France, the Americans objected to it. And in fact, it was the United States that forced Israel to withdraw from Egypt. And the Americans were supporting the refugees until. It is with the death of President Kennedy and after the Six-Day War that the whole American attitude changes. And then comes in not only the issue of the Holocaust. In the case of the Americans, there are different reasons for the support. One is Christian Zionism, which becomes a very powerful force in America. Second is the Cold War with the Soviet Union. American strategists believe that Israel is a great asset in that war. And thirdly, the Israelis build, but it only begins in 67, they build a very strong Jewish lobby.
No vote at the United Nations will ever create an independent Palestinian state, and the United States will stand up against efforts to single Israel out at the United Nations or in any international forum. Israel's legitimacy is not a matter for debate. That is my commitment. That is my pledge to all of you.
Says the same US president who vowed to create an independent Palestinian state not so long ago.
We believe the borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on the 1967 lines with mutually agreed swaps so that secure and recognized borders are established for both states.
Tomorrow in Congress, I'll describe what a peace between a Palestinian state and the Jewish state could look like. But I want to assure you of one thing. It must leave Israel with security, and therefore Israel cannot return to the indefensible 1967 lines.
Now, anyone who ever criticizes Zionism or Israel stands the risk of being called an anti-Semite, or stands the risk of being told that it's a one-sided argument. But instead of justifying it for myself, I'll allow Professor Ilan Pape to clarify.
I think it's wrong to say that a balanced view is a Zionist view versus the Palestinian view. No, I don't think there is a parity between a colonizer, an occupier, and an ethnic cleanser, and the victim. The victim's narrative is the correct one. The victimizer's narrative is the wrong one.
It seems the people most responsible for bringing peace to the region are the people who seem to be stopping it the most. But there is hope, and the recent hope comes in the form of an Arab revolution, which is bringing a new wave of democracy and change never seen before.
This is the 16th day of these massive countrywide, nationwide demonstrations and protests that in the last couple of days again have turned violent.
I think I would like to end by quoting Edward Said. I think late Edward Said has articulated the best. It is questionable and it will be debatable forever whether Zionism was good or bad for the Jews. This is an open question. I don't think you have a clear issue. And I can say it for myself, the people of my family who survived the German Holocaust were those who found refuge in Palestine. So for me it's complex, you know. Had they not been allowed into Palestine, they would have been exterminated by the Nazis. But as far as the Palestinians are concerned, Edward Said says, it's bad news from beginning to end. Now if it continues to be bad news for the Palestinians, it would be eventually also bad news for the Jews.